The Murthy law firm has been clarifying US immigration laws and procedures for foreign nationals since 1994. We are happy to offer this free service. Please listen to copyright information and restrictions at the end of this recording.
Welcome to the Murthy podcast. This is Kevin Andrews, and I'm joined with Maggie Wagner. Today, we're going to be talking about the Keeping Families Together policy, the parole in place program recently published by the Biden administration. We're recording this in early September 2024, and as part of the development with the new parole in place program, there is an ongoing lawsuit, and a preliminary injunction has been issued, putting a pause to the program after a lawsuit was filed by several attorneys general in the United States. But USCIS has said that people should still apply, even though they cannot issue the parole yet until this litigation is finalized, but encourages people to still apply. So while we understand there's this extra layer of uncertainty looming over the program currently as of this recording, we still want to talk about what the program is, how to apply, and how to qualify. So with that, I'm going to ask Maggie, what is Keeping Families Together? What is this parole in place program and how is it different?
So Keeping Families Together is a process that allows certain non-citizen spouses and stepchildren of U.S. citizens to apply for what is called parole in place. So that enables them to be able to apply for lawful permanent resident status without having to leave the United States, as you know what was previously the case, and be processed in the U.S. as opposed to at a U.S. consulate abroad.
So that sounds like a big shift in policy. Where does the Biden administration get the legal authority to do this program?
The Biden administration gets the authority from the INA 212D5A. And what this is it's essentially just DHS's discretionary authority to make decisions on a case-by-case basis. And in this case, it's allowing certain non-citizen applicants for admission to be present in the U.S., you know, on a temporary basis while they await their green card. And that's completely up to the discretionary authority of the officer adjudicating the case. And they're looking for urgent humanitarian reasons or a significant public benefit in order to grant that parole in place.
Okay, so that's for parole in place generally. Who's eligible for this program?
There's two categories of people that are eligible for this program, the first being non-citizen spouses of U.S. citizens. And there's a list, you know, a set of criteria that you must satisfy even if you are a non-citizen spouse of U.S. citizen. That doesn't automatically qualify you. The first one being that you have to be present in the U.S. without admission or parole, meaning, you know, you entered without inspection. EWI is what some people call it. And then you have to have been continuously physically present in the U.S. since at least June 17th of 2014, and you'll have to be present from that date all the way through to the date of your filing request. You also have to have a legally valid marriage to a U.S. citizen, and that had to occur on or before June 17th, 2024 as well. You have to have no disqualifying criminal history or otherwise not be deemed to be a threat to public safety, national security, or border security. And then the last one is that you have to submit a biometrics and undergo required background checks and national security checks and public safety vetting.
Okay, so I guess the relevance of these dates, legally married on or before June 17th, 2024, I think that was the day they announced this policy would be implemented. So I guess since it's a new thing, they just wanted to establish a cutoff from and then be physically present for the last 10 years, I guess, from that date. So who is, we were talking about spouses, what's the second category and what are the different criteria for that one?
The second category are non-citizen stepchildren of U.S. citizens. And in addition to all the criteria that I just spoke about before, that stepchild has to have been under the age of 21 and unmarried as of June 17, 2024, the date that you just mentioned is the date that they announced this program. And then in addition to that, they have to have a non-citizen parent who entered into the legally valid marriage with the U.S. citizen on or before June 17, 2024, and before that child's 18th birthday.
Okay. So that's the eligibility criteria. How about the process? How does somebody apply for this new parole in place program?
So you can apply online. And the form that you have to file is the I-131F. The filing fee is $580, and unfortunately, there's no fee waiver that's currently available for this program, so you will have to be prepared to pay that $580 government fee. And other than that, you know, each requester does have to file a separate form I-131F and have their own online account. So that means if there is a non-citizen spouse of a U.S. citizen and they're also filing for a non-citizen stepchild of a U.S. citizen, both of those individuals have to file their own I-131F applications, and then they also have to have their own online accounts. And when you are filling out this online application, you can technically upload as many documents as you want, but you can only upload 5 documents at a time with a 12 megabyte per document limit. And then if you are planning to file for the I-765 employment authorization that you can seek under this program, you do actually have to have the I-131F approval prior to filing for the employment authorization. So you can't apply for it at the same time, but you are eligible to apply for employment authorization after you get that I-131F approval. And you can actually request a fee waiver of the employment authorization document, but you do have to file it on paper.
Okay. And how long, if this is approved, if this preliminary injunction falls through and this program moves forward and people apply and actually get an approval, how long is it valid for?
So 3 years. If DHS actually decides, you know, under their discretionary authority that you are eligible for this program, they approve the I-131F, you should be able to have 3 years of a period of authorized stay. So it's not granting you status, but it is granting you a period of authorized stay in which you're not accruing more unlawful presence. It doesn't erase your prior unlawful presence, but you're not accruing further unlawful presence while you're in that three-year period. And the employment authorization can also be issued for the three-year period.
Okay, yeah, I think that's probably going to be something that might give people pause, right? Because what if this does work? I get it. It's approved. And then come 2027, I have to apply again. And, you know, the nature of this program is a very politically charged kind of program. Otherwise, there wouldn't be a preliminary injunction filed by half a dozen or a dozen attorneys generals throughout the country. This seems like it's something that, you know, maybe if Trump wins the presidency, maybe this won't even be a program that would exist. So what would it look like for people who were granted the program and then are maybe dealing with a Trump administration in 27 that would not, you know, seek a renewal, right? Like, I guess it sounds like it is something to be optimistic about, but also it feels a little bit like kicking the can down the road. Like it's not like a solution, but a Band-Aid, right?
Right. Yeah. And given the fact that it is a Biden administration policy, people probably would want to apply as soon as possible, given the fact that we don't know what the fate of the program holds.
That's a good point. There's no filing deadline to apply, other than the deadline provided by politics, perhaps. So, Well, Maggie, thank you so much for this important discussion. I'm sure there will be follow-ups to it. In the meantime, thank you all for joining us, and we'll talk to you next time.
This is a free service. The content is the protected, copyrighted property of the Murthy Law Firm. Unauthorized recording or dissemination of these materials without prior permission is prohibited by law. Learn about our firm, how to engage our services, and more at www.murthy.com.